Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Why'd you stop talking? You guys were having an interesting conversation, and now that the podcast has started, you just silence, immediate silence.
Oh, well, we want to know why it took you an extra hour to get on the podcast now that we have your attention.
Just busy. Technical difficulties.
What are you so busy with?
It was an hour-long pee. You just peed for an hour straight?
That's fascinating.
Yeah, tell us more.
Tell us more.
I peed so much that it began eroding the walls of my urethra.
How many times did you have to flush?
The toilet actually, once it gets to a certain level,
it does. It auto flushes. Yeah.
Oh,
that's how toilets work.
Oh, I just outed myself.
Kevin's like, I don't actually know because I just pee in this bottle, this big Arizona iced tea bottle that I keep under my desk. I'm not mad. I would do the same thing too. I'm just simply sharing the idea that you live with of pissing in bottles. It's
no,
a strategy.
It's not a bottle. It's a hose.
It's a life hack.
It's a hose.
Wait,
and it goes
a hose?
Right,
oh,
right
into a bottle.
Outside.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. No bottle at all.
No bottle. Okay. I got rid of the bottle like a month ago.
Like,
have you guys ever actually peed in a bottle?
Yeah.
Nigel, have you peed in a bottle before?
It's one of those things that I don't have a memory of it, but I know I've done it.
I'm pretty sure I've done it too. We don't really go on road trips that much, but there's like I definitely have peed in a bottle. I think I may have peed in a bottle at when we were filming the car video, actually, because
there's two types of people
liars have, and people who peed in a bottle.
Exactly. People that have peed in a bottle and people that will admit to peeing in a bottle.
So when we did the car video, when we filmed that, we had to pay to rent the parking lot. We had to pay to be able to use one of the outlets, and we had to pay to use the bathroom. So we didn't pay for the bathroom because I don't even know what the plan was. But long story short, we rented a dumpster because we're throwing all the parts out. Just peeing in the dumpster. And I think I have some self-respect. So I peed in a bottle and I threw the bottle in the dumpster. That way the pee is, you know, forever contained in a piece of plastic.
That way, once it goes into the dump truck and they like squish it, it sprays out of the dump truck.
Yeah.
What if there was more than pee was necessary?
If I had to poo in a bottle, then that's what Gatorade bottles are for. They got a big wide mouth. You know what we should do? We should have a competition where each of us gets to like 2 liters of water and we have to drink it, and then we see who can fill a little sport Gatorade bottle up from like 6 feet away, who can get the most pee in it. So it's a combination.
Extra.
Yeah, you gotta drink as much
Stay
water
tuned.
As you can, and you have to have, you know, you gotta have distance and you gotta have aim.
I'm gonna start drinking right now.
Why We're do you have two half drunk water bottles?
Jesus don't question God. Don't what are you, my girlfriend? Shut up.
I could.
Is that how you treat your girlfriend, Kevin?
Is this a threat?
No,
this is
I can't
threat?
Treat my girlfriend like that, but I can treat Will like that.
How do you like the Zoom format?
I love it. I can't smell you guys from here.
How come you haven't posted any YouTube videos, Nigel? Where's the YouTube videos?
I've ascended. I no longer do YouTube.
That's an interesting word.
Again.
I've left the YouTube view.
Are you doing dance videos again on TikTok?
Doing what videos?
Dance videos.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that account.
What's your secret TikTok account?
No, I'm filming videos, but I'm just I don't feel like editing.
I'm just filming.
He won't admit this to you. Well,
what?
Guess how many videos Nigel told me he's filming at once right now.
4.
6. And they're all going 6. Badly.
Filming at the same time, or like?
Yeah, and it feels really bad. I have to like not.
You literally
do that.
Told us like maybe a year ago that you did this and you hated it and you were never going to do it again.
Yeah, I know. There's a word for that. It's called relapse.
We should. You know, Kevin. You know, flip flop and like electronics, digital logic. Yeah. I think we need to call it the Nigel.
The Nigel Gate.
No, I just basically what happened was it to explain the logic that goes on. I can explain you the logic, Kevin.
No, I'm here to listen.
Yeah. So the logic is very simple.
I give you silence. You give me explanation.
I work on a bunch of projects, and then I realize that it kind of sucks, and then I vow not to do it again. But then the problem is time goes on, and in the time, I research more projects, but I only work on one at a time, but I keep researching more and more. Then eventually I'll have like 5 that I have like ready to go, and I'll one day wake up motivated and be like, I'm starting all 5. And then I start them all and go, no, I can't, like, I can't just stop. And then I get
stuck.
How many
videos do you think I'm working on right now?
2.
Does it involve an embroidery machine?
Does it involve editing or filming? What is the answer?
I'm just filming.
The answer is...
Okay. God, I need to open my project folder because some of these have been going on for a very long time. Do you know how many it is?
I've got to say it's 4.
Does giving up on a video count as a video that you're working on?
Which video did you give up on?
Don't tell me.
No, well, no, I'm still working on it.
You have to beep that one. You have to beep that.
Okay.
I'm saying them, so you have to do them now.
Wait, no. Wait, editor, cut that out.
How many?
Okay,
how,
that's
what's
so that's,
up
that's
my butt
3.
Challenge.
3. Yeah, then there's the what's up my butt challenge. I think it's 3 videos that I'm actively working on.
So when you say act, are you like filming and editing,
the
or
stuff
just
that's been filmed, edited? Well, some like is being filmed. Like it already was filmed, but I still have to film like pickups and stuff or green screen stuff. And then we're planning other stuff. It's bad. You don't have to explain yourself to me, Nigel. I know how it is.
I'm saying I have a hard time editing and filming at the same time. So I can work on like 5 things at the same time. So I have to film them all, and then I can just go into editing mode. But it's hard for me to be like an editor and a filmer at the same time.
Too many hats.
I don't know what it is.
It's too difficult for Nigel to be a chemist and a Chad at the same time, so he has to skip back and forth.
I think it's because, like, to film stuff, I'm running around a lot, and then to edit, you're not moving. So, like, I feel like I have a lot of energy when I'm running around, so I get antsy when I sit down. I don't know.
Have you watched the rehearsal at all?
I finished it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know the little laptop stand that he wears?
that's all I need.
I think that you could totally run around and edit, and you're just selling yourself short. The technology exists.
When you're filming a lot of stuff, there's a lot of decisions to make, and then editing, you also have to make a lot of decisions. And I think I go to edit, and I see the first decision, and I'm like, I can't do this.
I have huge commitment issues when it comes to everything. Like, if I want to make a drastic change, I will duplicate my current edit and then make the drastic changes and then never go back. I mean, sometimes I do go back to like pull other stuff in,
no,
but
you can't go
it
back.
Still is like I can't just delete something. It's why I have problems in CAD too. You saw the dumpster. It's like completely, it's like mostly parametric. Like,
what
you could
mean?
Change anything and it just permeates all the way through. It's like infinitely changeable and it takes me so much longer to do things. But also,
I can't do that.
Wait, why?
It's the only way I can do it.
My brain doesn't work like that.
But parametric, what does it mean?
Parametric, so I'll find the actual parametric.
I'll just save different versions and go back to them.
The definition is assuming the value of a parameter for the purpose of analysis. So in CAD, when you say parametric, it means that you are plugging in values and all of the system is changing based off of those values.
They all, like, every value references another value or something.
Yeah, it essentially means that everything's linked together. So if you have a, you know, it's like scaling something in Photoshop. If you scale it, if you scale up the X dimension, you can, well, I want to scale everything equally. Ones, you could link the other one to it. So you could say that the Y dimension is equal to the X dimension, or the X scale is equal to the Y scale. So in CAD, you can say, like, you can have a list, literally, there's a couple of ways of doing it, but like you can have a list of variables, like a Excel spreadsheet kind of looking thing. And you can type in names and you can give them values. And so, like, let's say you have a bucket, like a Home Depot bucket, you know, the 5 gallon ones, and you say that you want it to be 5 gallons. So you have a variable called 5 gallons. And you say you want the diameter to be this. And then you have a variable that says, like, you know, density of whatever it is. You could literally say, I want a 5 gallon bucket that's 12 inches wide, and it would automatically calculate the height, and it would change everything else so that it would all propagate out to the final bucket that you need that is of a width of a volume. Or you could say width and height, or you could, you know, there's all sorts of things you could do. So
that's pretty handy. I never thought you could do that.
It's extremely powerful. It's, I think it's how, like, essentially McMaster models work. They create the object, and then it is completely parametric so that every variation of a screw can be generated on the fly based off of whatever the parameters are. You know, the thread size, the, you know, the shape of the Allen key, or like the size of the Allen key, the length of the threads, the yada, yada, yada.
When I try doing something like that, it always comes back to bite me, because I'll try to, like, modify something in the model, and then it actually, like, starts affecting other things in the model, or I can't delete something in the model, because it'll say, like, this item is constrained by this item, and doing so would mess up the whole my model.
CAD has, like, I don't know if anyone gives a shit about this, but, like, I really like CAD, but it has, like, some fundamental problems of, like, if you go forwards, it sometimes is impossible to go backwards. And so, like, you know, you could make a sheet and you cut a hole in it, and then you want to get rid of the hole later, and then you go and delete the hole, but then deleting the hole breaks everything because you maybe referenced the hole further down the line.
Yeah.
So how do you fill the hole? You just make another feature that fills the hole. And so now you have a feature that cuts a hole, and then you reference the hole, and then you fill the hole back up later down the timeline. And it's kind of like, you know, like at some point, I think CAD is very similar to, like, writing, where you like are testing it out. You're making, like, your kind of your theory about what your model should be. And then the reality is you should actually, once you find out what your model is, delete it and then go back and start from scratch, knowing exactly where you're going to end up.
It's like
and
writing
make it more cleanly.
In pencil. You can go back and change something, but it's still going to, it might not.
Yeah, you're sort of like, I've never actually done this, but, you know, it'd be like treating CAD as like a pen, where you can change a little bit of stuff, but for the most part, you're going to make a bunch of mistakes, and then you have to delete it and start over knowing where you're going. Because it's like, that's like the prototyping stage, right? Of like, well, what is it going to look like? And it's like, well, who cares what it looks like if you know that you need to have a hole here? But then it's like, well, what about that? You know, it's just, you know, sometimes you do what you said, where you break it.
A text message where you, like, you say everything in maybe like one tense, like, I'm going to do this or something like that. And then, then you say, like, oh, I change it to, like, I did do this. I don't know. And then you have to, like, go back and change the entire, like, everything. In the text.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like sometimes.
So in CAD, what you could do is you could say, like, I want the tense of my words to be future. And then you could, every time you type a future word, you could then change it. Actually, I want my tense to be past. You select past, and then it goes through and changed all the words to past.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like CAD. I like SolidWorks. I've been using Fusion because SolidWorks, I mean, I'm going to sound like such a little diva, but I just want, they should just give me a license, damn it. I don't make money from CAD, and I advertise their stupid platform. Give me a license.
They don't want you to have a license. They don't care about
it. And with Fusion. Fusion, I talked to their team. Like, I'm starting shit now. I'm like biting the hand that feeds me, even though neither of them feed me.
We don't have any sponsors, but we do have anti-sponsors.
We could have. Yeah, we're doing podcast. Anti-sponsorships right now. Have we? I don't know if anybody wants to hear me bitch about CAD. I feel like, I think, I don't know. I try to get opinions from people about if they like Fusion 360.
I like it.
A lot of people like it, and some people don't like it. But the one conclusion that I can say for sure about Fusion 360, everybody hates joints.
I never figured out how to use them.
Yep.
In Solid
because
Edge,
dumb.
It's very easy. It's very intuitive. Yeah. In Fusion, it's like, what's a joint? Like, why can't I just connect things?
Every CAD package that I've used from, like, SolidWorks, Solid Edge, even, like, FreeCAD, I was going to try Onshape. They all have, like, a mating system, which eliminates degrees of freedom. like, Nigel, you want to learn about CAD. You were talking about CAD the other day. Like, typically what I do is I have an idea of, in my head, what I want, right? Like, kind of a shape. And sometimes I'll draw it. Like, drawing is actually, I think, very important. Like, just get a piece of paper or a tablet or something and draw what you want. Because going straight into CAD can kind of hurt your head sometimes, and it's not a healthy way to try to synthesize something. So, like, for the thing I just, the dumpster that I made out of laser cut plywood, I, like, knew, you know what the shape of a dumpster is, right? So you start with the shape of a dumpster, and it's like, what is the foundation of a dumpster shape? And it's like, well, it's a rectangle, right? So you start with a rectangle and you extrude it into a box. And then, you know, the sides are like, they're like rectangles with like triangles on top of them, because it's like, I don't know what you call that.
The opening is canted towards you or something.
Yeah. And then so it's, then you kind of know all your flat surfaces, and you sort of go through and you just sort of like start kind of like whittling it down and making all the sides, and then you figure out how they're gonna fit together and what order they're gonna fit together in. You ever like change the oil on a car that was like really hard to get to the oil filter? You know, like, yeah. They put the oil filter in the car and it works in the model and it technically fits together, but you can only change it if you take the tire off, like there's a car that has a battery behind the...
So to answer your question, it's a right trapezoid.
Right trapezoid.
So it's a trapezoid with a right angle on the bottom, and then the top is a... That's right.
I feel like I'm never going to remember that. But it's like, you know, there's a, like... I remember one time I got a model, or I got a cut file from a guy at my old job, and it's actually the guy, Chuck, whose BattleBot is Ghost Raptor. He made this thing... This I was building this aluminum base for something, and he had made it all interlocking, like the keys and slots or whatever you call that, where it's like a flat piece that's cut on a water jet, and one has a little notch and the other has a slot, and you kind of puzzle it together. And he had designed it in a way where everything worked up until the last piece had to go in, and then you had that, like, the moving box problem where you try to fold the last corner in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work when it's aluminum.
It's like you have to push everything else apart to
get right.
the piece in, and then nothing and so, else.
Yeah. Right. I remember going to him and I'm like, how am I supposed to put this in? And he's like, oh shit. And I think I remember we just like really kind of just forced it. But
I forget,
you know,
like people call it CAD goggles. It's like you're too busy designing something. You forget about like how it's actually going to work once it exists.
Which is fair. Like, it's a hard problem to solve.
Yeah.
And like, even when somebody knows what they're doing, like this guy, you still make decisions or choices that you don't 100% think about, because it's like there's hundreds of little features. So it's like, you know, I don't know. CAD is like, generally you make your body, you make a body, and then you make another body, and then you use some sort of tool to join them together. Which in normal CAD software is removing degrees of freedom. SolidWorks, it's called a mate. I don't know what they call it in Solid Edge. I can't remember. Where you essentially say, like, I would like this edge to be stuck to this edge. That removes 2 degrees of freedom. It removes rotation in one axis, and it removes translation in the other axis. And you keep removing degrees of freedom until your part's completely restricted. Whereas what Fusion tries to do is everything at the same time.
I made my piece. You know, one of the pieces I made was a box.
Was it a hollow box or a solid box?
I think it's solid.
So it's like a cube.
It's just a rectangular box. Yeah, you know, I'm pretty proud. The other one was a little bit more complicated. It was a little, like a 3/8 high box, thick box. It's not really a box. Just like it's supposed
to
be like
a... So you were like making spacers for something.
Yeah. Kind
See,
of.
See, that is what Fusion 360 is perfect for. Is if you have one body and you don't need to build any sort of complex thing. Like,
no, I had to join things, and that took me a while.
How many? You made a spacer?
Well, I made like a plate, and then I just put two little like things on the side. Like little rectangles.
Yeah, so you aligned it. But when you align it, you don't lock it in position because you can still move them. So all you've done is you've positioned them in space.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, capture their position.
I did combine
them,
though.
Once you capture their position, you can still move them in space, I think. And then you have to revert. It's, like, it's so dumb.
Oh, yeah. And trying to set up hinges and stuff like that,
too. Oh, my God. It's so stupid.
Oh, yeah. What I was doing was very basic. It was basically just a box. It took me 10 minutes to figure out how to move something, though.
Yeah. It's painful. Someone told me something that once I sort of like hammered that commandment into my brain, I did much better. everything is bodies. So just make a component or just use the top level. I don't even want to get into that. You ever seen Peter? I want to talk shit about Peter right now. You ever seen his model of his first airplane?
No.
This is the problem with Fusion 360. Peter Streeple's first model of his, like, the airplane that he flew in is a high level, a top level CAD model. There are no components. It is literally just a ton of bodies at the highest level of a Fusion 360 assembly.
Well, what's the difference between a component and a body?
A component encapsulates
multiple
bodies. Well, I mean, the way you're supposed to do it, and the way that I think you're supposed to do it, because this is all based on probably how you use the software, is if you have a part that you manufacture, it should be its own component.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have a little, like, rubber seal, that should be a component that then gets brought into an assembly for that rubber seal to fit in your fuel pump or whatever. So then that fuel pump is a component that has other components in it.
So what's a body?
A body is an object inside, could be inside of a component. So a component is essentially is just a box that is like, this is kind of like a group of things that I call one entity. And you can move it around collectively. It's sort of like an assembly in an assembly in an assembly, but at the bottom, it's just a body. So it's like a body inside of a component,
and you can put a component
inside of a component.
Because if you look at the tree in Fusion, it's like, here's your component, and then you break the tree down, and then there's a body inside of the component.
So here's how I did the dumpster. I was like, all right, let me think. You know, use my big, giant, bruised brain. A dumpster has the bin, right? The bin is a bunch of sheets and it has a bunch of pieces, but it's all welded together. So if I was making a dumpster professionally, I still don't know really how I do it, but if I'm making a dumpster sort of what I'm doing, everything's a body. So the sides are bodies, the front is a body, the back is a body, the fork holes are bodies, and they're in the side of the same component. Which is the easiest way to make stuff. The problem is that it's not really the right way to do stuff because Fusion really, I don't think it's not really meant for that because every time you want to extrude something, it like forcefully, like it will take two bodies and it will join them together if you extrude something that crosses through them.
There's a reason that I always make things components, and I'm pretty sure it's because if you want to take one design out of one file and bring it into another file, it has to be a component.
Yeah, probably.
There's no way to turn a body into a component.
Yeah.
So, okay.
What we need, much like helicopters, we need CAD too. We need the next evolution of CAD software. I still don't know what that is because everything I've ever seen involving bringing stuff into real life has always felt like a gimmick. Like Solid Edge had some bullshit about, like, I don't even know what it was called. It was something where you could modify dimensions after the fact without having to go back.
I think the right answer is I go online and I pay somebody to design it for me.
No, you post what you're trying to do.
That's what I say. That's the real one.
Trying to help you, and then you don't follow up with.
Can we talk about that?
So
I think we need to have.
I actually messed up my claim. What I should have said was, you post on the Discord. You have people do
your
work for free.
The door, and I'm going to step through it.
I can explain what happened pretty simply.
I can explain what happened too. Nigel was asking for help on how to do something in this program. And we're trying to tell him how to do it. And he's giving us zero information of like this, what the screen looks like or what he's trying to make so how we could help him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't tell us what he's trying to do. He just says, I need help, basically. And we're like, how can we help you, Nigel? And he's like, I'm having trouble with this program. And like, okay, well, what's the problem? How can we help? And he's like, it's just not doing what I want it to do.
So I will explain what happened. Basically, I'll set the scene. I sat down and said, I have a very simple thing to make. It's a box with an indentation in it. That's all I need. And I have the, what's it called?
No. I have the whole conversation. Anyone want to teach me some super simple Fusion 360? I tried to learn and I popped 27 blood vessels in my brain. I said, yeah, what are you trying to do? Then Jabril says, one doesn't learn to use Fusion 360. One can only exchange brain cells to use Fusion 360. Nigel says, I have a 3D model of something mega simple, basically a rectangular box. I just need to turn it into an impression on a block, basically invert it. Kevin said, that's easy. Are you making a mold or something? Peter says, use the combined function and use cut for the operation. So keep in mind, Nigel has all he said about the context of what he needs help with is that single sentence about having a he needs to take a rectangular box and turn it into an impression on a block. There's no picture. There's no drawing.
Well, I don't have any of that. Because like
so then I you yeah, can okay. draw it with pen. No. Let me degrade you right now.
I'm saying this conceptually. You can say your side, you know, and then I will say my side.
Yeah, this is how the court of law works. Yeah, okay. We need a jury. I went on a total procrastination tirade. I said, you have two bodies or components. Position them where you want using some combination of align and move or joints. Then use the combined function. Target body is what you want to modify. Tool body is the shape you're using for the modifier. So if you want to subtract a cylinder from a cube, the cube would be the target. The cylinder is a tool. However, it sounds like you could just directly model what you want. The combined tool is useful for objects you want to invert or mold or object you already have. If you have neither the body nor the tool, then you could probably just start from scratch and model what you want to make positively, but with positive and negative extrusions. Can you show a picture? And then you said, I'll get more info after, blah blah blah. I just don't know how to use this program at all. And then
I said, I'm filming something right now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then
so you ask for help, but you're unable to actually.
Yeah, and then this goes on for a bit. Peter sends like a tutorial video. And then there's something about like STLs that I don't even remember. But at some point, you just said, I solved it after I asked you, how are you asking for help, but haven't sent a single screenshot of the problem?
So, okay.
You know, I get emails like this from kids.
I'll explain what happened. Yeah. I'll explain what happened.
Hey, I'm trying to make a rocket, but I don't have a rocket or any rocket.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a rocket, but how do I make a rocket?
So,
yeah.
Like I said, I will explain what happened. Mm. Conceptually, all I had was like, I don't have anything here to show. It's like, imagine you have a square block.
That's going on right now, and the maker community has whatever this is.
No, but imagine you have, Kevin, imagine you have a square block, right? Like, yeah. I have a little like SD card thing here. And I was like, yes. I just need to make a square block. That if I
you're already doing a better job right now.
I know. I
was gonna say, see what you're doing right now. That's what we wanted. Like
just listen, because I didn't think in my head it was. I said, also when I did go on, like this is the problem is I was actively filming stuff, so I was asking when I said anyone want to teach me, I was kind of looking for like someone. I this is bad communication. I was like I thought
yes.
it would take 5 minutes for someone to pop in and teach it to me. But when I explained it, I said I have a 3D model of something mega simple, basically a rectangular box. I just need to turn it into an – okay, it makes no sense what I just said in hindsight. But what all I was trying to do, it made sense when I wrote it, was I said I have like a 3D model of something like this. I need to invert it so that it's a mold of that. That's what I wanted. But what happened was – twofold. A, it was the day before my birthday, so I was like filming, and then I went out for a lunch. So when you said your whole, like all your help, I said I'll get more info. I'm just filming. I filmed. Just listen. And then I went to lunch. Okay. But I felt I wanted to acknowledge the help that you provided. But my line saying I just don't think I know how to use the program. What I meant by that was you said all of these things, and I didn't know what any of that meant, and I was struggling in the program to even change the angle that I was looking at something.
Okay.
So when you guys were asking for screenshots,
at 12:30 you asked for help, and instantaneously, so that it says 12:32. No, it probably wasn't even a minute. It was probably like 30 seconds because I'm always on Discord. I just have it open. I said, yeah, what are you trying to do? I would have jumped on a video call right then and there with you, which is what I thought you were asking
for. I know. So what was bad was for some reason when I thought I asked for a video call and you blatantly said, yeah, what are you trying to do? For some reason in my head, I don't know why. I was like, oh, no one wants to go on a video call. So I just went back to filming.
What am I supposed to say? I don't look desperate trying to help you.
No, it made no sense. But what happened?
Senpai Nigel, please, let's get on a video.
The reason why I didn't provide a screenshot, I said I'm really bad, is because I couldn't figure out how to change the viewing angle in the thing, and it was off to the side, and I was embarrassed by what I was showing.
And yeah, you have to like control click or control right click. I don't know.
I figured it out now, but it was to the point where people were like, can't you just like show what you're looking at? And I'm like, I don't even want you to see what I'm looking at.
What was it for? What were you making?
I was saying I wanted to make like graphite molds that I could like make kind of anything I want, so I could pour metal in and mold it to a shape I want.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I want to start with something super simple, just like a square little block. But you just need a mold.
If you're making a mold, it's usually a good idea to model what you're trying to make and then use the combine tool. I think that's sort of like a good practice.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's is, I was at knowledge like literally zero. So no,
I know, but that's what we're here to help you with.
I know, but what happened
was... I was going to teach you about using the draft function.
But so Kevin, the second layer of this problem was that I imported the little 3D model that I had made.
Oh, yeah. And it was you imported the STL.
Why were you importing a model?
Because I thought, okay, that there would be, and this is how low my knowledge is, I thought there'd be some sort of way to just simply, like, invert something.
How have they not figured this out yet?
You can sort of do that. I've used an STL infusion. It did make me want to die, you can do it.
So what happened was I was like, I'm going to get a block. And then from all the things you said, I was like, okay, I'm going to take a block, extrude a little block. I'm going to take my model, put it over that, and I'm going to combine. But the problem is it wouldn't combine. And then I only found out later because it's a mesh.
Where did you get the model from?
I made it.
And where?
That's not a question. That's not a question I can answer.
I know.
Did you make it in Fusion? Did you make it in Tinkercad?
Okay, so these are layers of incompetence, all layered on each other. So when
that's what the podcast is for, is to share that.
When I went to go make, I went to go make this model, and I wanted to make it really quickly. So I downloaded Fusion, I popped the other brain vessels that I had.
Trying to figure out how to download it for free because you're only going to use it once.
So I shut it. I just shut it, and so I typed in Google. Yeah. Easy 3D.
Reminds me when you tried to get us to play League of Legends.
Easy 3D modeling software. And all of them sucked. That one random website let me make it in a very easy way, so I exported it as an STL.
But why do you export it as an STL?
Because you're just supposed to like make something simple and 3D print it like right there.
Yeah.
They aren't expecting you to pull it into a different CAD software.
They might let you export it as something else, though.
Look, man, you're talking to like...
Listen.
I'm trying to fix a car, and I don't even know what wrench is.
To get to an STL, you have to convert
a block, and then it gives you a little virtual pickaxe, and you pick away at the block.
Oh my god! Holy shit! That's the greatest idea I've ever heard.
Wait, Minecraft of modeling.
No, wait. That's the funniest. Wait a second. we should do that.
You set a blog.
That is basically Tinkercad.
You etch pixels away.
No. There's something so much worse about that. That is the funniest CAD software joke I've ever heard. Wait, does anybody want to make that or
subtractive manufacturing to additively manufacture something?
Does somebody want to teach me how to make that? Maybe Jabril could teach me how to make that.
And you can change the size. You can either take away like a 3x3 chunk or like a 1x1 chunk, and it's like a 128x128 block.
What's it called? ShitCAD? Wait, has anyone done ShitCAD?
MindCAD?
I'm trying to remember. I was looking up a tutorial for when I was trying to do the stuff on Fusion, and I swear to God that the tutorial to do what I was trying to do was 17 steps or something.
I'm stuck on this pickaxe idea. I think that's... Imagine, like, it's a piece of software, and all you get is a block and a pickaxe and an export to STL button.
I think that would work. That would actually be more intuitive.
How would you do that, though? Because you could just take chunks out of the block, but I feel like you'd almost want it to have some sort of, like, destructive voxel physics engine.
So it's like,
man, yeah. Yeah, so like it's like there's some kind of like physics going on with how it takes chunks out, because you want it to look like shit.
It gives you like, you get like a little machine gun, right? And you can just like reload.
It'd be cool like if you had a VR game where you had different tools like that. Like, you had a little gun, you had a sandblaster, you had like a hammer, and you could just like bash things until it
and then the only thing you can do is hit export.
And there's no back button.
There's no back button. It's like you have to chisel out your sculpture, and then you can print it. That is, I want to make this ShitCAD. What do we call it? Pick cat. What would you call it? Calling it cat is kind of, well, I feel like if it's a meme, you got to have the word cat in it. So it's like something cad, shit cad, maybe ass cad. No.
Ass cad.
Pick cad, pickaxe cad.
Cad.
Shit
axe.
Cad axe. Axe cad.
I can't think of it now, but I will be up till 2 a.m. trying to sleep thinking of this name.
And then someone on the Discord server or Twitter will come up with a brilliant name. I'm like, damn it, why didn't I think of that? I love this idea. I have always wanted to make a game, and I know that it is, I'm going to say something right now. I know that it's very easy to make a game. It's very hard to make a good game, and it's very hard to make a complex game, but you can make a game based off of like the sort of very, very strong foundational elements that are available, from examples to just, you know, like the powerful engines. Like, you can make a game. Like, you could probably make a game in a day, even, you know, following a tutorial. It's not even, is that cheating? No. The fact that a single human being, like the fact that right now I could go download a piece of software, follow a tutorial, and have some sort of crappy game in a couple of hours or a day is amazing. And I've always wanted to do that. I just like, I've seen like Jabril's done a bunch of cool stuff, but like, it seems like there's a level of complexity that if you sort of stay within the bounds, like don't go too far out of the bounds, you can make a pretty simple game pretty quickly. I don't know.
We were just talking about Agar.io.
Yeah.
Angel and I were talking about playing it. That's like super simple game.
Dude, I played that game way too much.
It's like a game where you start off as a blob and it's a multiplayer game, 2D game.
It's a web browser?
Yeah, you just have to absorb other blobs.
Kevin, I realized that game, though, is like you absorb blobs and grow, but in itself is a metaphor of life because... because you play the game. Because
we're all just wasting our time.
You play the game. This is like my real experience with it. You play the game and it's all fun. You're like, oh, I got so far in it, man. But I just got eaten by a larger guy. You know, I'll try harder next time. But then you realize that everyone...
You just want to die.
No, everybody who's in like the top five are all playing on teams. So it's like...
Oh, cheating.
It's not cheating, but unless you play on a team, you literally cannot get there. And I became very jaded. I don't like that game anymore.
Did you guys play Warzone with us when we did the double squad? The bannable offense?
I think we tried it a couple times, and I think we got it once.
Yeah, where we had two squads, and we kept quitting till we were in the same lobby.
Yeah.
And we played as a team of eight instead of a team of four.
And we still didn't. I remember our game. We did it a couple times, and we never even managed to like link up.
Well, one of our friends just, he's like too good. His sort of reaction time is too fast. And so he just kept killing us because he's like, you're on the same team. We all had the same skin to try to like not kill each other. But the problem is there is friendly fire. And so
obviously you're on an enemy team.
Right. And it was very, very like it was easy to die. If you were trying to avoid shooting your teammates that weren't technically on your team, you would avoid shooting enemies because it would just slow your reaction time down and you're trying to make a decision. And so he ended up killing us a lot, and then we ended up getting killed a lot by other teams because we were trying to avoid shooting each other. Anyways, it was fun. It reminded
me
of...
Did you ever win that way?
I think we won. Well, you can't... I mean, I think we did. You can't really win, right? Because still only one team can win. But
yeah.
I think we did end up getting pretty far once and then realized that the strategy is just a nightmare because you had to keep quitting the lobbies over and over again.
So you guys are part of the problem. You ruined the ecosystem.
Well, yeah. I don't think people do it because it just doesn't work well. It's a nightmare.
It's so much easier just to be good, I guess.
Yes. That's so true. That's so true. And here you are complaining about teams cheating, but
no,
I think you just admitted to yourself that you're not good.
No, but in Agar.io, it's like...
He just told us that he didn't have any friends to play with, is what he's trying to say.
No, but Kevin, have you played it enough to see that? Like, you actually can't... It's not about it being good. Like, what will happen is they like, you don't know the game well, but it's like, you're little blobs, but it's like...
You know what the Patreon extra for this is going to be, right?
Just playing Agar.io?
Yeah, do you want to... We should play it after.
Let's do it.
But basically, you can shoot like your little like part of yourself out, because when you're big, you go slower. So to get away, you can like shoot part of yourself away so you move away quicker. But like when people play as teams, they donate it to each other. Mm. And it's like what will happen is you'll see a guy you can eat. You'll go close. And then the other guy who's big will donate it all to his friend. And he'll instantly grow the size of your screen and then eat you. But then it's
also,
like...
Also, do you know how long it takes to get that big? It takes like 2 hours or something.
No.
So even if you win, you still are...
You can get pretty...
You can, it'll... I don't know, like an hour.
No, you can be like 20 minutes, but it's still like a chunk of time to get that big.
Yeah.
And then it's like, if you're alone, people will do it where, like I said, they're big enough that they just donate and you literally can't get away. They just come and eat you. You have like no...
I've taken over the lobby.
Okay.
I'm like huge chungus in there, dude.
Kevin, where did you get that shirt?
Drip.
I got it from Ross. Do you like it?
Actually, Ross,
the store, Ross Creations.
The store.
Kevin, that's where I got my money.
Can I be honest with you? I hate it.
Yes.
Kevin's wearing this shirt.
I've been wanting to like it for a long time.
It's drip all over it, like in like kind of like graffiti.
You noticed my shirt, Sandra. Yay! I saw that shirt and I said, I need to wear this on
Kevin,
podcast.
I really like it.
Podcast shirt. Sandra, Will hates it.
No. Kevin, did you see my wallet that I had that said Big Papa Bear?
No.
It's from Ross. That Tokyo shirt is also from Ross.
Is it really? No, yeah. The one, the matching pants and jacket.
Yeah, it's from Ross.
Is Drip a brand? What even is it? Also, what is Ross is like a kind of surplus store, right? Or like the trickle down.
It's kind of like Big Lots of clothing. I don't know.
Dude, I like it.
Is it? I mean, it just sort of feels like something that would have been popular in middle school. I can't really read it.
Machine wash only? What brand is that?
It said, do not wear cringe.
Every letter's in a different font.
If it was embroidered on my embroidery machine, it'd be cool. You know, I say that I'm talking shit about the shirt you got at Ross as I'm like over here making arguably worse clothes in my garage.
Are you kidding, Mr. Hamburger?
That's a pretty good shirt.
That's actually a gem. Can you show off what you've been making?
Actually, that'd be fun. It's right here. One sec.
So Will's newest obsession is an embroidery machine. I don't know if he even like. I think he has a piss bottle in the garage at this point because he will spend like 6 hours a day just watching that machine. I was over there. He spent 6 hours watching this machine like do this.
Okay, so I think I've talked a little bit about the embroidery stuff on the podcast, but I genuinely have not enjoyed sort of like doing an art thing as much as I have doing embroidery. I think we'll sell this shirt for on the podcast because of, in Japan we sort of had our Mr. Hamburger meme. So
wait, why are there
this is
four of them?
This is why like so it's oh, an old Red Cat shirt. Yeah, so I have a bunch of old shirts because making good merchandise is really hard. And for like, I think for the Red Cat shirt, we went to two different shops to get it done. I think it took three shops. I spent like, and this was early YouTube too. We weren't making very much money. I think I spent like a couple $1,000 trying to get the Red Cat shirts made, and some of them just looked horrible. Like every shop would come back and just give us these shirts that were garbage, and I didn't have the gall to tell them that they were garbage. And so it's nice to be able to like kind of spend time and like iterate. So this is like iterations. Sorry for the audio viewers. I'm holding up a t-shirt, an old Red Cat t-shirt that is a sample that I didn't use, and I'm using it as a sacrificial fabric for, why won't this camera focus? Sacrificial fabric for embroidery testing. So the first one that's centered right now, that is the first test. Then you can see it looks a little bit scuffed. And then second test and like third and fourth test. And so it's sort of like trying to clean it up, make it a little bit sharper.
Yeah.
Then we did an experiment with trying to do like an undershadow, or like, I don't know what you'd call that, a drop shadow sort of. There's another one. It's just covered. The shirt is just covered in Mr. Hamburger. Here's like the recent one. I think this is the closest to what it's actually going to be. So this is like 3D text embroidered.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to like arrange this. The shirt's like wet too. I don't know why. It's gross. So it's like three-dimensional. But I'm still working on like the stitch types because there's so much learning to do to actually convert art to a stitch file. But
I thought it would have been easy. You know, I was coming over to your house and I knew that you had this new embroidery machine. So I downloaded the program and I tried to make
it. You stuck a big needle on the white thread.
No, I didn't. It was the same diameter needle.
No. Did you measure it?
He measured it with his eyes.
You stuck, a 100 size needle on it.
And what should it have been?
Well, you should have asked me, bitch.
That was the one all the way on the left, right? Like
it's like this, yeah, the 7511s. I think that was the one that broke because that's the you had the hat on the hoop. You were using white thread because the needle size, if it's too big, will like the white. It was just the white was stitching like really shittily, and I was losing my mind. I couldn't figure out what was going on.
I don't think so. No, you definitely did. I found your little hidden compartment full of spare parts.
Yes.
Because I broke your machine.
Yeah, and you found a needle in one of the three boxes that are floating around. There's a big box.
Full of like five. Yeah, there's a big box.
There's a big box with like 10 boxes of needles. Those are the needles that are supposed to go. It's the 7511s or whatever. I mean, it still works, but I was sitting there pulling my hair out.
I think you're right. I know I'm right.
No, I haven't used any of those big needles because I haven't bought big thread yet. Because that's like, I'm going to buy like size 12 thread.
Well, this was, I had to cut through this, you know, you need to punch through a hat. You need a big needle for that.
I agree. I'm on Kevin's side.
Yeah, the problem with embroidery is it is so complicated. And there's so many little moving parts and there's so many steps to the process. Like it is not something that you just jump into. I mean, it took me 2 weeks to even sort of kind of understand what was going on. Like it's bad. It's really confusing. But yeah.
You've heard awesome. Will talk about CAD software. You don't want to hear him talk about embroidery software.
No. The thing about CAD is that a lot of money has been spent on making good CAD software. So the stuff that you complain about in CAD is like pretty petty compared to how shit embroidery software is. Yeah. Like genuinely not functional at all. Like it's bad. It's really, really, I don't know. I love complaining. Do you know how much that software costs? We talk about this. $1,100 for the embroidery software. And that's a cheap one. $1,100 and it feels like an alpha. It feels like an alpha piece of software for $1,100.
The fact that it's $1,100 doesn't upset me. It's the fact that all of the other tiers up to the $1,100 don't do anything. It's like tier one, you pay, I don't know, $200. All you can do is download embroidery files and send them to your machine. That's all you can do. Number, like, for $400.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can also change the font on files. For $800, you can change the colors of the fonts and the pictures. And then only once you spend $1,000 can you...
$1,100.
Then it unlocks everything. It just unlocks everything.
And by everything, it means a software that is so filled with bugs that you're going to question why you paid $1,100 for it. And the answer is because it is the best thing that you can get for $1,100. Yes. I don't even know how to complain about it other than,
But I have a question.
Yeah, okay.
Like, how profitable is the company that makes it? Like, is that 1,100, you know, just lining their pockets? Or are they desperately, do they need to charge 1,100?
No, I think that $1,100 is fair for the market.
Yeah, because it's just kind of like a niche thing.
It's very niche, but it's very frustrating that, like... Number one, my 30-day trial ran out ages ago, and they haven't sort of sent any like marketing stuff to give me a discount. Like they try to get you to buy. Oh, you get extra stuff if you buy the license for the full price. I'm just gonna like wait it out until I can actually get a discounted price.
Yeah, because
like I don't want to pay $1,100. That's too much money for what it is. And I'm sort of still looking into other alternatives, and I kind of want to play with. But it is unfortunately the most capable for the price. It's totally functional. It's just a nightmare. The interface is a nightmare, and it does a bunch of dumb stuff. Like, I always go back to the greatest piece of software ever existed, ever invented, or I don't even want to say invented, but like that has existed. Blender. I mean, like, kind of consumer facing. I bet you the greatest piece of software to ever exist is probably like what the GCC.
I say Windows Excel.
C++ exactly. Compiler.
Just Excel.
GNU, GCC, the GNU compiler collection. Like being able to compile C code probably has had a bigger effect than Blender, but I do think Blender is probably what sits in my head as one of the greatest examples of software being accessible to people. We've talked about this before, I think, right? I love complaining about this because when I was a kid...
I remember when you were telling me about the embroidery software in person, there was a lot more swearing going on.
If I was completely loaded, And I wish maybe we just make more podcasts. Hey, go to the Patreon and give us your money. And then if we have a lot of money, we make free software.
I'm sure that I'm sure that entices Patreon. Everybody.
I have a news for you. Does anybody who listens to this podcast, are you really rich? Like, do you have like, what are we calling really rich? Like, if you have over $10 million.
And no friends, no inheritance.
We will be your friend if you give us money so that we can make open source software. Any takers? Leave a comment down below. I really wish that I could convince someone like, you know, Elon Musk or Mark Zuckerberg or Bezos, you know, the sort of these like the rich guys, the rich celebrities in America, to just like make a fund of like, dude, if you had $10 million, if someone just gave you $10 million and you put it into like an open source initiative, you could make all sorts of amazing software.
Here's the thing. You could probably actually just get a grant and do that.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, I'm not a programmer. I make YouTube videos. Like, the only thing I can do is try to, like, use my existence as, like, glue to, like, organize and kind of stick people together. Like, trying to run an organization is really hard to do. Like, I want to switch to DaVinci Resolve. Because Adobe is just, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Adobe. I'm tired of it. Like, I'm very tired of it.
That's, I would say, don't buy Adobe. No. Start on something else.
Please, anyone who has any hesitations or any, like, just go to
Final Cut Pro, other than acceptable. Adobe. It costs $300. Yeah. You have it for life.
Do you, like,
it works fine. I pirated it. Once I could afford it, I bought it.
I think that. There's like something that kind of bothers me a lot looking at Adobe, and it's like they're not spending money that I can see on development. Like, I saw this very interesting thread about After Effects on Twitter, because like I used to use After Effects all the time. And if you don't know what After Effects is, it is a program that you can compare to Photoshop, but it's for video. It's essentially Photoshop for video, and
it's like how you would make all the cool special effects and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's compositing software. So it's a way of taking a bunch of flat layers and combining them together to output a video in the same way that you would combine layers inside of Photoshop. And it's just different because it's video. And there are features that have been requested for years that they just haven't done, that also have been fixed by plugins that people have made on their own and sold. One of them being just having folders, like being able to sort of like just like you have like a timeline, right? Like in Photoshop, you've got your layer and you put stuff into a folder. And if you expand everything, it's still just this big vertical column, right? Like just the idea of being able to take a bunch of layers and collapse them into a folder, even though they're all in the same order, like there's no weird yeah. like non-linearity stuff. Like it's just you're taking stuff that's in order and you're squishing it down into folders. Like, imagine you've got a background layer that's like four layers. You just make a folder called background. You stick those in there and you can pretend like the folder doesn't exist. It's still on the same. Like, this, like, programming wise, like, I can't imagine that's very hard to implement. And people have gone and made plugins that do it that you can buy. So, like, the community
on their
fixing
platform.
Yes. For a one time fee, you can buy a plugin to add folders into After Effects. And then Adobe every single year charges you money, but like doesn't they introduce like neural filters in Photoshop? Have you used them? They're like kind
of
shit.
I'll tell you my understanding of why that happens, because implementing folders doesn't get new customers. Yeah. Implementing
correct.
Neural whatever you said gets a guy to sign up because it sounds cool.
I don't
cool.
think so though. I think goal is to get new customers though. I think that they.
But I'm saying every year. They need to have some new like thing to be like, we do machine learning now. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
AI.
Like, they got AI here. I'm hyped. I'm going to stay. And then you realize it's trash. But then like,
oh, we could call it CryptoCAD because you're mining.
Oh my God.
You're mining in the background. We're running like Bitcoin mining software
on your computer.
That was still running in Kevin's mind this whole time.
Crypto farm CAD, not like crypto CAD. No, that's. I mean, that's. I feel like it's funny, but that's like a whole different meme now. Yeah, okay, I don't. I think when you do open Photoshop, now that you mention that, it does. The first thing it says is it has some banner about neural filters.
It just like I because it happens the same thing with like I think most a lot of softwares I've seen, they just try to get people to renew or new people there. But it's like once you're there, you're not leaving because the folders aren't there. So it's like how can you do the bare minimum to keep people, but then try to get more people? It doesn't make the best software. It makes the highest profit until people like you and other people realize that it's trash and want to just abandon. And then when there's a competitor, they're all gone.
I think like what frustrates me about Adobe is like it's not I don't want to call it trash, but you can smell it. You can smell the stagnation.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell that the money you're spending
not
to,
going
to
anywhere.
Renew the software is resulting in exactly the same software. So it's like the software I had access to last year is the same as the software I have access to right now. And why am I paying a $600 fee
per
to have
year.
Access to that per year? To, or no, I think it's like $800 now.
Yeah, that's actually kind of insane considering like with Vegas, for example, every year they come out with a new version, but I get an upgrade price, and it's not very.
Adobe does the opposite. They come out with the same version and they charge you money. Yeah. And they force you to have access to their entire suite, right? So Adobe says if you want to have Photoshop, you can pay a lower price. If you want to have Photoshop and Premiere, you're basically going to be paying the same price as just having the entire cloud suite. So then you end up paying like, you know, probably just under $100 a month for everything, as opposed to two pieces of software for like $50. Like, it just doesn't make sense to not buy the whole suite if you're going to use more than one. And it just makes me wish that like somebody would just make software they don't want to make money off.
Well, I mean, like, I feel like DaVinci is kind of the answer to that, considering
I love the
because you can just get a free version, right?
Yeah.
So it's like,
and then if you buy their hardware, which is the Blackmagic cameras
anyway.
Or the recorders, then you're supporting the company and you get like a good quality product. We started using the Blackmagic cameras for the podcast and they look really good. Well, we use the A10 mini recorder for them and it all is like super well integrated. And then it creates a project file for DaVinci. Like, and then you get free software. Like that's amazing.
And like I said, even the free version they give out is fully functional. I don't know what limitations you have on it.
I think it's like the same thing. I think they might have a pro version.
I think like because when I bought the 4K like cinema camera, it came with like a paid version. But I think it's just you unlock extra features. But if all you're looking to do is cut, you know, do basic overlays, add text, I think there's no limitation really.
Yeah.
I think if you want to do it to like color, I think it's like color correction. And like once you start actually doing, I guess, like real more like serious stuff, then you actually might have to pay for it. But for basic editing,
shooting in S-log footage for a YouTube video,
you need to get
Kevin, 12K raw. That's what I shoot in.
God.
So there's this piece of software called Figma, which I didn't really actually know about until this happened.
What's it called?
Figma. It's like a user interface. It's like a UI
nice
design tool. So Figma shares projects, files, pages, and frames with anyone that has permissions form, yada yada. Like, I think it's for designing like interfaces, I guess. And long story short, like Adobe essentially has a software suite that does like is competitive to Figma, and apparently people were like taking over, like people were using Figma instead. So what does Adobe do? Instead of improving their version of the software, they buy Figma. And now Figma is like sitting with this company that is like actively letting their other softwares deteriorate. You know, like they still work, but you know, they're kind of like the skin's falling off and you can see the bones.
It is what it is.
Just pirate everything. That's my advice.
I want good stuff. That's the problem. It's like I want it to be good. Like I want to pay money and get something good.
Well, that's,
I think with Adobe,
that's
it's
the
like
root,
that's not happening.
That's the
like,
root of your disappointment.
How do I get something good in exchange? What you get money and I get good product.
No. That's not how it's.
Why? Where did that? When did that change? When did this happen?
It changed when they realized they can get money and give you bad product and you still give more money.
What happened to value added service? And now it's all just, how much can we extract from you? Just give us more. Just like, I'm surprised that there's no microtransactions in Photoshop in Premiere Pro, honestly.
Speaking of extracting value, thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon. How about we put the names on the screen? We haven't done that. I like that idea. This is what Trash Taste does. I think we should just copy what other people do.
We should just scroll through the Patreon page.
And then there's like a name right here. Look at this person's probably really hot. And we've got some extras up on Patreon. You could watch all of those. I don't actually know what's up right now. I think the pizza one where you guys got Japanese pizza from Pizza Hut, genuine on-menu pizza, nothing weird. And boy, God, it was weird. And then you made some horrible one and fed it to me because I had to go drop Chelsea off at the airport. And then I came back and you're like, here, would you like some of the pizza? We saved it for you. And it was awful.
It was a prank.
Yes, find out which pizza was actually fake one.
It's Kevin, obvious. Yours, I feel like it's obvious. Retroactively,
Kevin,
obvious.
We became a prank channel. I haven't played a prank. I haven't done a prank in a long time. That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I honestly was surprised.
It would have been better if we tricked him.
He did get tricked, though.
You did trick me. Yeah,
but he didn't say it was the best. I wanted him to say it was either the best.
Oh, well, because it was shit.
But Kevin, how could we really put together?
You guys stuck like octopus legs on a pizza,
Kevin,
it was the best one.
Kevin, we were trying to balance him saying it's the best and also punishing him.
Yeah, that's
why do I need to be punished? What did I do?
No, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make it really disgusting, but not disgusting enough where he would know that something was wrong.
That was Pizza Game.
All right,
right?
So here's currently the content that's available on Patreon extras. The Patreon extras you get access to if you give us money every month. Trying Japanese pizza. Japanese snack taste test. Actually, that video came out pretty funny. The bonus scene of Dax Flame teaching us how to act. Putting on lipstick that makes your lips swell up. Going to Outback Steakhouse with Australians. Learning how to drive a forklift. Playing Magic the Gathering. Dog food or real food? That is, I think the best collaboration videos we've ever made. And it is behind a paywall, and I feel like it's a little bit. I feel like at some point we're definitely gonna have to just publish it because
it's too good.
It's too good. I don't know how it came out that good. Sometimes videos just work really well. When we watched the first edit, we watched the whole thing, and it was like 25 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And we like glued. I was like, I haven't. Anyways, it's a very it's
compelling.
Great. It's you guys. It's 100% worth the money. We got a couple of tiers. One of them, I'm gonna read them off so I don't say anything wrong. $5 a month is the minimum, and you just get all the extra stuff. Then for 15,
to like a special Discord channel.
Yeah, especially for any support on Patreon, you get access to the Discord channel where you can ask questions and hang out and share projects.
It's a pretty active community, honestly. Like,
but a lot of people who are interested in similar stuff to us, like making things and whatnot. There's the Galaxy Brain tier for $15. You get a signed Polaroid from us every 3 months, and we've made software that keeps track of who you got. It's like a collectible, except the picture of it's the collectibles is just it's just a picture of us. All right, yeah. So if you want to watch us play Agario.io, head on over to Patreon. If you just have a big pile of money and you want to give it to us, and we'll do things with it that are fun and interesting for you guys to watch.
Money into tools and fire and explosions.
Turn your money into chaos and destruction. I want you guys to know that every last penny you've ever given to us on Patreon has been spent on making more content for the podcast, and that is not a joke.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.